But as we continue today, this series that we're going through in the life of David, I want us to conclude this narrative that we are going through in David and Goliath. This is our third week. We're going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 41 through 58 today. We'll be there in just a few moments. You may remember from the past couple of weeks that the Philistines, they have gathered their armies for battle against the Israelites, and they're there in the Valley of Elah. They're both up on the hillsides. But instead of both armies slugging it out and all of them going at it, the Philistines put forward their champion. His name is Goliath, and he's from Gath. And he proposes that whoever lost this man-on-man battle, the result would be that the loser's side would become the servants of the winner's side. And the obvious champion for Israel, it would have been King Saul. You may remember that he was head and shoulder taller than everyone else. But he would not go out and fight against Goliath. In fact, no one from Israel was willing to go out and fight against Goliath. No one, that is, until young David comes onto the battlefield. And David, he's shocked to hear Goliath's defiance. And so he volunteered to go out into battle against Goliath. And at first, King Saul is very reluctant to let him go out there. But eventually he relents and he allows David to go into battle against Goliath. So with the Philistine army on one hillside and the Israelite army on the other hillside, David takes his staff in his hand. He goes to the stream and he gathers five smooth stones and he puts them in his pouch. And then he went into the Valley of Elah to fight against Goliath. And that there, it sets up the scene for where we are at today. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read our scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 through 58. Again, if you need to sit down or stay seated, that's perfectly fine. This is how it reads. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaharaim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your master, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. With David still holding the Philistine's head, "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." Thank you. You may all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if there were any odds makers back there in Philistia, where the Philistines are from, or maybe even there in Israel, I am sure that they would have all put their money on the big guy. After all, Goliath, he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. He is a seasoned warrior. And opposing him in the other corner, it was David. David was probably still a teenager by now, probably in his late teens, whose resume includes shepherding and playing a musical instrument. And everyone looked at this upcoming battle between Goliath and David, and they would have said that this was a terrible mismatch. But in today's lesson, today's message, I want us to see that God raises up a Savior against those who defy him. The very first thing we're going to notice is the boasting of Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40 from last week. David takes this staff in his hand. He chooses 5 smooth stones from the stream. He puts them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling, he approaches the Philistine down there in the valley between these two armies. And at verse 41, our first verse today, it says, "Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept moving closer to David." And I wonder if somehow in all of this, Goliath is just thinking that maybe David is the shield bearer for the champion who's going to come after him. David was so small in comparison to Goliath. But when no other champion enters and steps into this battlefield, the Philistine looks and he saw David. And he looked David over and he saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing in health and handsome, and he despised him. Now, interestingly enough, what Goliath saw, it was the exact same thing that Samuel saw when he went to anoint David as the next king over Israel. But of course, what Goliath saw, it incensed him. It made him mad. He just saw David's staff in his hand. In fact, David, he looked like a shepherd, not like some battle-hardened soldier. And so the Philistine says to him, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" Now, I'm struck by the fact that in this entire scripture that we've just read today, the author never refers to Goliath by name. He simply says, "the Philistine," perhaps to highlight his opposition to Jehovah, the living God of Israel. In fact, the Philistine actually cursed David by his gods, and his gods would have probably been Dagon and Ashtoreth. This really was the true confrontation that was taking place. The gods of the Philistines versus the God of Israel. The false gods versus the one true and living God, Jehovah himself. And then the Philistine goes and he boasts and he says to David, "Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals." Goliath boasted that he is going to make mincemeat out of David and he was going to feed him to the animals. And I'm sure that any one of us, if we were facing an almost 10-foot tall, I can't even get my arm up that high, almost a 10-foot high giant, we would be quivering, we would be shaking, we would be scared to death. But you see, not David, because the very next thing we notice is David's response to Goliath. David is not afraid of Goliath. You see, his trust is not in his own ability or in his own strength. His trust, it is in the Lord. Now remember that David said earlier to Saul last week, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And then David goes and delivers one of the great classic speeches in the entire Bible. And there are 3 parts of David's response to Goliath. The very first thing is David rebukes Goliath for blaspheming God. We read that David is saying to him, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Goliath, along with the entire Philistine army, they were defying God. They viewed Israel's God as some tribal deity, something just like their own God, except that they believed that their gods would be superior to the God of Israel. Their gods, Dagon and Ashtoreth, they would be superior to God. But David rebukes Goliath for blaspheming the true and living God. The second thing we notice is that David expresses his confidence in God's power to save him. He continues as he's moving forward. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." As noted earlier, David's confidence is not in his own ability, but rather his confidence is in the Lord. David knew he's up against some insurmountable odds. The odds are really stacked against him. He could never win this battle in his own power or in his own strength. But his trust is not in himself. It is in God, Jehovah. The third thing that David announces is his purpose in defeating this Philistine. David says, "This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David wanted the whole world to know that Israel's God is the one true and living God. He's not some mere tribal or local deity. Even more than that, David wanted the people to know that the Lord saves not with the sword or with the spear. In other words, God saves his people his way, not with the ways of the world. And finally, David reasserted that the battle is the Lord's. And that is that God is in sovereign control over all things, even battles with the Philistines. And as we move on in our scripture, we see David's victory. See, Goliath, by this time, he has had enough, and he's charging forward. And as the Philistine moves closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Do you realize, for these past 3 weeks, it has taken 47 verses to get to this point, and it takes three short sentences to describe David's victory over Goliath. That is how quick, that is how sudden the whole thing happened. And the author of 1 Samuel, he wanted his readers to be sure that they did not miss the significance of what has just happened. And so he writes in verse 50, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone." And to make sure that no one missed the point, that David did not use the weapons of this world, he continues and says, "Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him." Sometimes worldly weapons, they seem stronger and more powerful than God's weapons. But let me assure you, that is not the case. That is not ever the case. And then to make sure that Goliath was dead, David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Now wait. Wait just a minute here. If you may remember from the past couple of weeks, didn't the Philistines just renege on an agreement that they were proposing? You know, the one that Goliath came out and taunted for 40 days? That whoever lost would have to become the servants of the other one? That the Philistines, they're willing to become the servants of the Israelites? Yeah, they just reneged on that deal. And they hightailed it as fast as they could out of the valley of Elah. They're making their way out of there. And so with that, the men of Israel and Judah, they surged forward with a shout. And I can just imagine them shouting and stuff. And they pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaharaim road to Gath and Ekron. And then after having chased the Philistines back into their own territory, the Israelites returned and they plundered their camp. Now you may notice that David did not chase after the Philistines. Verse 54 says that David took the Philistine's head and he brought it to Jerusalem. And he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. And as we read that verse, we need to be aware that at this point in time, Jerusalem is not yet occupied by the people of God. You see, those stubborn Jebusites, they still lived in Jerusalem. And it's kind of a lingering embarrassment to the people of God that they had not yet taken hold of all the cities of the promised land. And this comment in verse 54, it simply announces that David would one day in the future place the head of Goliath in Jerusalem when he conquered it. So the battle is taking place, and the very last thing that we notice is this question, this inquiry that comes from Saul. Because as Saul is watching David go out to meet the Philistine, he says to Abner, who is the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" And Abner replies, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." And the king says, "Find out whose son this young man is. And if you're following along, you may have the same question that some scholars seem to have." See, there's a problem here. How is it that Saul didn't know who David was? Wasn't David his music bearer playing music for him? But see, actually, if you read this, what Saul was wanting to know is not who David was. He wanted to know who David's family was. See, you may recall that Saul has offered his own daughter to anyone who could kill Goliath, and that he would make that person's family tax exempt in all of Israel. And so Saul is actually inquiring about who his future in-laws are going to be. And so as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner takes him and brought him before Saul. With David still holding the Philistine head, and he said, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David says, "I am the son of Jesse, his servant of Bethlehem." And it is by that there that Saul learns about David's family. He finds out who his in-laws are going to be. Now, 3 weeks ago when we started all this, started this narrative between David and Goliath, I talked about preachers and people wanting to preach these messages about picking up these five stones, you know, to defeat the five Goliaths. You know, maybe your own Goliaths, like fear or doubt or despair. And while that is all good and we can make some personal application from that, we need to know that the main thrust of every single Old Testament narrative is to show us what God was doing in redemptive history to save his people. Or to put it another way, Jesus is the main hero of the entire Bible. And everything in the Old Testament somehow needs to point us to Jesus, the coming of Jesus. Whereas everything in the New Testament needs to point us to his ministry and his life. And you see, we see that very clearly in our scripture. In this battle against Goliath, David used an expression in verse 45 when he says, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." This unusual expression, it's only used one other time in the entire Old Testament. It's actually used in a psalm where the writer is recounting that he was surrounded by nations that were opposed to the living God. And in the name of the Lord Almighty, he cut them down. Later on in that exact same psalm, in Psalms 118 at verse 26, he writes these words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In other words, blessed is God's Savior who comes in the name of the Lord to defeat our enemy. Psalms 118 is referenced a number of times in the New Testament. It's particularly referenced in each of the four Gospels as Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, actually riding in, more like it, into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. You remember the crowds, they repeatedly recite this verse on Palm Sunday. Matthew's Gospel account puts it this way in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. And the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Later on in that week, as his death drew near, Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, and he says, "I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" David says to Goliath, there in the valley of Elah, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." And he was pointing to his greater son, Jesus Christ, who was to come in the name of the Lord and who will one day return again in the name of the Lord. David defeated Goliath there in the valley of Elah, just like David's greater son, Jesus, defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary. And David represented the people of Israel when he went and he defeated Goliath. And David's greater son, Jesus, he represented all those who were willing to surrender to him and to follow after him when he defeated Satan. You see, David's victory over Goliath, it points us to Jesus' victory over Satan. And so we need to be thankful for Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus, he goes before us and Jesus is behind us. And that is because the battle belongs to the Lord.